我们一起来看《撒母耳记上》第二章。
Let's refer to 1 Samuel chapter 2.
请看《撒母耳记上》第二章，我们要从这个30节一直到36节的这一段经文，这个是我们首先要了解的经文的内容。
1 Samuel chapter 2 from verse 30 to 36, this is the passage that we will have a look at.
我们现在讲到双喜祸端，那么记录在圣经里面的这个小弟所列举的这个第四个事件。
And so tonight we will share on the fourth of the series of the ultimate disaster in the Bible.
那么这个事件是发生在当时的祭司以利的家庭里面。
And so this event occurred to the household of Eli the priest.
当我们看到撒母耳记上二章三十节以下的经文小弟个人读了真的我眼泪都掉下来了。
When I read the passage in 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 30 onwards, I myself will shed tears.
那么如果以这个祭司以利的角度来讲那么小弟今天也是在神的圣殿里面来做服事的工作。
And so from the perspective of Eli, he was a priest, and from my perspective, I am also serving in the church before the Lord.
那如果我的服事导致让神在我的家庭里面下了这么大的咒诅的重手。
And if because of my service before the Lord strikes me with such a curse.
那这个真的是怎么讲呢？真的是一种我们讲让人家觉得不可思议的，不应该发生在这一个祭司的家庭里面的事。
And truly, people around will think to themselves that this should not have happened to the household of such a priest.
那我们详细把它条列化。
But if we categorize this,
这个以利的家族到底受到了神什么样的咒诅，而祸及到后代的子孙呢？
What kind of curse did the household of Eli receive, and also how did this affect the descendants?
好，那么第一个在三十一节的上半节。
So firstly, in the first part of verse 31,
我们的神他取消了这个祭司家族对神服事的资格跟能力。
So the Lord has cut off the arm that is their ability to serve before the Lord.
旧约时代的祭司他是这个世袭的这个神的命令。
And so in the Old Testament, the priests, they would follow exactly the commandments of God.
那现在我们的神告诉以利说好了，你们这个家族的服事到处结束，膀臂我要跟你折断。
And so the Lord here has told Eli that, that your days of serving me will end here.
那这个是一个永远这个家族永远都没有资格在神面前从事服事的一个家族。
And so this household has been cut off and no longer has any opportunity to serve ever again.
好，那么第二样咒诅。
And the second curse.
我们的神说，在你这个家族里面所生出来的孩子全部都中年就会去世。
That there will not be an old man in your house.
在三十一节的下半节。
This is in the latter part of verse 31.
三十二节的下半节。
And the latter part of verse 32.
在你家中必永远没有一个老年人。
That you will not have an old man in your house.
三十三节的下半节。
And verse 33, latter part.
你家中所生的人都必死在中年。
That they will all die in the flower of their age.
所以这个家族都是到了中年，我们的神就把他的生命取走了。
And so this household, the people in it, they will be cut off.
而且永远每一代都是这样子。
In the middle of their life, and this will be for each of the ages.
所以我说这个是后继这个后代的子孙呢。
And so this affects all of the descendants.
好，那么第三个我们的神告诉以利这样说。
And fairly, our Lord tells Eli,
在三十二节的上半节。
In the first portion of verse 32,
你一定会看到我居所的败落。
You will see an enemy in my dwelling place.
那么他特别讲的就是说，你一定会亲眼看到会幕的衰败。
And so that is to say that you yourself will see the fall of the tabernacle.
那么我查了一些参考资料，参考资料都说会 看到神的约柜被掳到外邦人的手中。
And so when I looked at some reference material, it tells us that they would see with their own eyes the taking of the Ark of the Covenant.
那么约柜在旧约是象征神的这个同在。
And in the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant is signified the abidance of God.
所以在你有生之年哈，你一定会看到我们的神离弃以色列人。
And so this is to say that you will see with your own eyes God leaving Israel.
好，第四样的咒诅。
And the fourth curse.
如果你这个家族哈，在三十三节的上半节。
In the first portion of verse 33.
如果你这个家族啊，有幸存者能够活过中年呢、啊？
If any of your men are not cut off,
我觉得这个是更进一步的这种咒诅啊！哈
，I feel this is a further curse to them.
那么这些幸存者哈，他们的生活都会令人感觉到伤心欲绝啊。
Then these men,
看到的人都会痛苦的不得了，掉下眼泪啊。
Or the people that see these men, they will shed tears and grieve for them.
那到底是什么痛苦会让这些活着的人看到他们的后代祖孙中年死掉会掉眼泪呢
？And so what is it that would cause others to grieve and to shed tears when they see these descendants?
在三十五节跟三十六节我们就可以看到。
We can see in verse 35 and 36.
他们后代祖孙哈永远。都会被生活的经济压力压迫。
They will constantly come and bow down to others for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread.
所以他们本来是祭司家族，他们会去找祭司说：“拜托啦，可怜我啦，哦，给我祭司的工作，让我能够得到一点点这个圣经说饼啦，得到一点点经济的来源，好维持我的生活啦。”
And so originally they were of the household of priests, but now they will go up to the priest and ask for a morsel of bread for a living.
这个看到后代祖孙活得这么痛苦，活得这么没有尊严，活得没有什么人格。
To see the descendants live such a pitiful life with no honor.
那这个是真的让这一些人哈，让这个幸存者怎么样，伤心欲绝啊。
These are the things that will truly make the people around them grieve and be sad.
那么最后我们的神说，我一定会给你一个证据，这个事情必定会成就。
And God also said that I will give you a sign that this shall be.
在三十四节里面。
In verse 34.
我们的神给他的证据说，你的两个儿子一定会同一天死亡。
That there shall be a sign to you that your two sons will die on the same day.
那如果我们看到这个撒母耳记上的第四章
And if we look at 1 Samuel chapter 4
在第四章的十七节到十八节的经文
In chapter 4 verse 17 to 18
我们就可以看到那么以利的两个儿子真的同一天就死在战场上面
We see that truly the two sons of Eli died on the battlefield on the same day
所以神对这个家族以利的家族所下的咒诅就全然应验了因为是有证据的
And so the curses that God had brought upon the household of Eli they came to effect because there was a sign
所以我个人在读的时候我觉得这个真的是这个以利的疏忽导致到他的后代子孙永远都落在这样子的咒诅的痛苦里面
And so when I read this passage I feel that because of the actions of Eli it causes all of his descendants to live in this suffering
那么原因到底是什么呢
And so what was the reason
我们现在来看第二章
Let's refer to chapter
2第二章的二十九节
Chapter 2 verse 29
那么二十九节我们可以看到我们的神责备以利说你怎么样这个纵容你的儿子来践踏我的祭物
We see in verse 29 that God says that you honor your sons more than me
所以我们的神说你尊重你的儿子已经超过尊重我了
You have shown honor to your sons more than to me
所以我定的题目叫以利的尊重我还打一个 question mark
So for my topic tonight, I've put down Eli's respect or honor and a question mark.
到底在我们一个成人的世界里面，你尊重什么超过神？
And so in our world today, what do we honor more than our God?
那我们的神我先解释一下这个践踏是什么意思
And so in regards to our God, let me first explain.
那么践踏，我去查过它的意思，就是说用脚踢。
So in verse 29 it says to kick.
不 不遵照神的规矩而随自己的意思来行。
That is to not go according to the commandments or instructions of God, but to do things in your own method.
哦，就是弃神如席了哈，弃神好像如草鞋一样啊，我随便踢他呢，我随便踢神呢，你讲什么跟我都没有关系了。
To kick at God's commands as if you're kicking at the grass.
哦，那这个尊重到底又是什么意思呢
？And so, what is the definition or meaning of honor?
尊重它的原文注意叫做有分量的尊荣。
And so this is weighted and respect.
哦，并且给予他荣耀。
So that is to give glory to that person.
以利，你的儿子到底做了什么事？你不单单不指正他。
Eli, what have your sons done that not only do you not rebuke them or correct them?
哦，任凭你的儿子哈不按照神的真理哈，然后随意而行，践踏神的律法规定。
But you have allowed them to do as they please and to even kick at the commandments of God.
哎，啊，然后呢？然后你还怎么样？就是说在管教儿女这件事上哈，你竟然是啊这个轻忽的了。
And in regards to correcting or rebuking your own children, you have taken this lightly.
我们来看神对这个事件，除了这一句，二章的二十九节这一句话之外呢。
And so aside from chapter 2, verse 29.
好，我们再来参考撒母耳记上第三章。
We can also consider 1 Samuel chapter 3.
那么从11节到14节的这一段经文。
In the passage from verse 11 to 14.
好，那小弟特别着重的是第13节。
I'd like to emphasize on verse 14.
这个是撒母耳第四次神呼召他的时候所告诉他的这个言语的内容。
So verse 13, this is the fourth time that God called Samuel, and this is what he told him.
所以在第三章的十三节，我们的神他就下了一个结论，告诉撒母耳。
In chapter 3, verse 13, our Lord has given a conclusion to Samuel.
他知道儿子作孽哦，他不是不知道，不是在一个无助的状态当中啊，他知道哦。
So it was not out of ignorance, it is recorded that he knew.
哦，然后呢，自招咒诅。却不禁止他们
，and that he would not judge them for it.
哦，那到底他的儿子到底做了什么样让神感觉到非常愤怒的事呢
？And so what are things that his sons do that cause this wrath from God？
那这个当父亲的又没有去管教他，没有去好好的指正他。
And as a father, they did not correct or rebuke them.
好，我们回到撒母耳记上的第二章。
Let us return to 1 Samuel chapter 2.
我们看十二节。
Verse 12.
好。一开始圣经就讲到以利这两个儿子第一个是恶人。
It starts off, the Bible says that the sons of Eli were corrupt.
那这个恶人是什么意思呢
？So what does it mean to be corrupt？
就是说在神面前是无足轻重的，没有真理原则的人。
That before God they do not have any truth or values.
他们是在圣殿里面，在会幕里面服侍神的一个。是这个家族传承的祭司。
They were a household of priests that would serve in the temple.
但是我们的神的眼中看到这两个祭司怎么样？我们的神判定没有价值啊！在我眼前根本就没有重量。
But when God saw them, and He judged them that they had no values, or that.
因为他已经脱离了神告诉他们服事的真理。
Because they have already departed from the truth that the Lord had given them.
所以接着十二节讲说哈，他们这两个人不认识神。
Verse 12 continues to say they do not know the Lord.
那这个不认识神，就是说不尊重神的话来做服事的工作。
And so to not know the Lord means that they did not serve according to the instructions of God.
以他们的服事行为来惹神的愤怒。
And through their own ways of service, this caused the anger of God.
用行为来触犯神呢。
And so they sinned against God through their actions.
那接下来这个内容我很简单这样描述哈，描述一下大家应当能够清楚哈。
And so very quickly and simply go through the content of this.
献祭的时候我以平安祭了哈，因为有五个祭嘛，我就以平安祭来当做一个说明。
And so because there are five offerings, I use the peace offering as an example.
好，那经文我给大家，我用讲的，我就不跟大家一起读了哈。
And so I'll give you the Bible verses for reference, but I will not read it.
小弟根据的经文是利未记三章的三节到四节。
Leviticus chapter 3 verse 3 to 4.
第七章的十五节。
Chapter 7, verse 15.
好，还有第七章的三十二节到三十四节。
And chapter 7, verse 32 to 34.
你看，好，我们去看这几节这经文，你知道旧约时代如果他们是献平安祭。
And so when we look at these passages, we know when they offered us peace offering.
那他们把肉，把这个祭物拿到神的这个祭坛前面的时候
，When they brought this offering to the altar before the Lord，
第一个就是要把这个美好的自由先献给天上的神。
So firstly, they would have to offer up the best, the fat to God。
不可以用，不可以说哈，这个哈，不可以说说这整个生肉就献给神哈，一定要把这个肥肉哈，把这个自由先献给天上的神。
And so they cannot offer up this offering as a whole immediately. They would have to offer up the best part, the fat first。
然后呢？自由献给神，燃烧给神之后，他们再来煮这些肉。
And after the fat had been offered up to God, then they would cook this flesh.
然后再拿到神的面前，有一个宗教的仪式再献给，这个过程再献给天上的神。
And then through a process, they would offer this meat up to the Lord as well.
那这个平安祭，祭司是有一些肉可以归属给祭司来吃的。
And with the peace offering, there was a portion of this meat that could be entitled to the priest.
比如说这个祭物的胸肉，还有右腿肉是归给祭司可以享用的。
For example, the breast or the right thigh was able to be given to the priest.
这个平安祭它献的过程是这样子的。
And this was the process of the peace offering.
那你从十二节看到这个十六节，你就发现这个以利的这两个儿子他完全不管神到底怎么规定。
And so from verse 12 to 16 in this passage, we see the sons of Eli did not care for what God had instructed.
所以他们已经混乱了献祭的整个的这个仪式的过程。
And they have already messed up all of the process of the offerings.
所以深深的得罪神啊。
And so very deeply they have sinned against God.
圣经说煮肉的时候他拿这个三叉的这个叉子肉一叉他就要了。
And so they
还没有献给神啊
before,
不能用啊
before they've even offered up to the Lord they would take a three-pronged fork to take up meat for themselves
十五节主油还没有烧的时候他就要生肉连肉带油我都要这个油是归给神的啊
and so before they had offered up the fat to the Lord they would come and take meat or the fat as well
然后到了这个二十二节我们就可以看到淫乱跟这个事后会幕的妇人淫乱
And so in verse 22, it says that they also lay with the woman who assembled at the door of the tabernacle.
让我们感觉到触目惊心了。
And so this was very shocking to everyone.
怎么一个服侍耶和华真神的祭司他会这样子呢
How is it that a priest that serves the true God will do such a thing?
那在这样的情况之下我们刚刚看到的三章十三节
And so under these circumstances, we also read chapter 3, verse 13.
我们看到神责备以利亚说以利没有禁止他们啊。
And so here it says that God said that he did not restrain them.
所以我们来看这个以利从这个第二章的这个二十三节以下到二十五节。
And so in chapter 2 from 23 to 25.
我们发现这个以利他没有事实的去责备这两个儿子。
We see that Eli did not specifically rebuke his two sons.
那我们也可以讲他没有做有效的责备，不但没有在适当的时机去做管教。
So not only did he not rebuke at the correct time.
那他也没有什么，他也没有去做有效的责备，也没有。
But he also did not rebuke them in an effective way.
那甚至在二十五节、二十四节、二十五节，我们可以看到说，以利的责备是温和性的责备。
From verse 24 to 25, we can see how gentle and meek his rebuke was.
我们看请电脑做一下箴言二十三章的十三节到十四节。
Proverbs chapter 23, verse.
箴言二十三章
Proverbs chapter 23
十三节到十四节
Verse 13 to 14
我们天上的神他在圣经所列给我们是严厉管教自己的孩子
And so the Lord has told us to instruct our children
那这个是有效的管教因为为了要让他能够进入神的国度
And to not withhold correction because this is to allow them to be able to enter the kingdom
of God 而且这种管教不是温和的是可以用杖打的
And so this is not a gentle kind of rebuke you can use the rod
那这个神真理的这个管教我们下一代我们的神所列给我们的好像跟今天我们人类社会说尊重人权这个好像有冲突了
It's like in today's society we will place more emphasis on human rights rather than on God
我们可以看到我们的神是要我们去严厉的，不是温和的。我们的神是你要做有效的，不是无效的。
So we can see that God wishes for us to rebuke in an effective way.
那当时的祭司以利他都没有达到圣经里面我们的神所给我们的这样子的一个教导的方式。
But at the time, Eli did not rebuke his children in this way.
所以我们如果从以利的身上我们发现这个终极祸端的原因是什么
And so from Eli, we can see the reason for this ultimate disaster.
就是他没有在信仰上，没有在服事上好好的来教导他的孩子。
He did not properly teach his children in the ways of faith and also in service.
以我们今天的认知的角度，就是他的这个孩子还小的时候，他的这个宗教教育他做得不好，没有尽到在宗教信仰上教导的责任。
From our perspective, it could be likened to not having performed the duties of religious education properly from their youth.
好，那这是第一个部分我们从圣经以利的身上我们所了解的重点。
And so this is one of the key points that we can understand from Eli.
好，那现在第二个部分小弟要来谈一谈孩子是神赏赐给我们的产业。
And so the second idea that I'd like to discuss is that our children are an inheritance from God.
在诗篇127篇的第三节有这一段经文的根据。
In Psalm 127 verse 3 there is this recording.
我们家里面所生出来的孩子，这个是神的产业啦，是暂时交在我们的手中，让我们要能够去教导他。
Our children that we are in our households, they are a heritage from the Lord, and the Lord desires for us to teach them.
那现在我们来看圣经里面这个旧约新约的一对人物的对比。
And so now we will make a comparison between people in the Old Testament and the New Testament.
这两个孩子即将被神安排来到这个世界的时候
，When these two children were arranged by God to come into this world，
我们的神都事先告诉他的父母亲
，God had foretold the parents。
那当时这两个孩子还没有出生的时候这两个孩子还没有出生就有很多人 在问说那这个孩子将来会变成怎么样呢
And while these children were yet to be born, there were people in this world already asking what would be of these children.
我们先来看旧约的这个代表性的人物
Let us first look at the representative from the Old Testament.
因为我们的神都告诉他的父母亲说这个孩子我已经命定他们要为我做服事的工作
Because the Lord had already told the parents that I have set aside this child for service to the Lord.
但是到人生的最后的结局是一个成功一个失败
But in the end, one was successful, one was a failure.
我们来看四书记十三章
Let us refer to Judges chapter 13.
好，四书记十三章，请看十二节
Judges chapter 13, verse 12.
好，这个是参孙的这个父母亲说的一句话
This is what the parents of Samson said.
背景大家自己去看参孙出生的整个来历的背景，大家要看这个四书记十三章
And so for the background of Samson, you can read chapter 13.
这个孩子还没有出生的时候，我们的神就来告诉他的父母亲说我会让你生一个孩子。
And so before the other parents had born the child, God already told them that you will have a child.
那这个孩子呢在第五节说第五节说他一出生就是归神为圣神已经拣选他来做服事的工作。
In verse 5 it says that the son shall belong to God.
好，那么在我们看十二节
Let us look at verse 12.
下半节
Latter part.
这个为人父母的他们就问神说我们当怎样对待这个孩子他后来当怎样？他后来会怎么样
？So the parents ask, what will be the boy's rule of life and his work?
我们简单讲说，这孩子将来怎样呢
？So we ask, what will be of this child?
那我们从四书记里面所提供的资料，我们知道参孙是一个悲剧性的事实。
And so from the book of Judges, we can understand that Samson, he was a failure of a judge.
他的父母亲我不知道怎么教导他，可是这个孩子到最后他是被神弃绝。
I do not know how his parents brought him up, but in the end, he was forsaken by the Lord.
那我们现在再来看施洗约翰这个人。
And now let us refer to John the Baptist.
我们来看路加福音第一章。
Let us look at Luke chapter 1.
路加福音第一章，请看66节。
Luke chapter 1, verse 66.
施洗约翰也是我们的神 启示他的父母亲说，哦，我要让你生一个孩子。
So John the Baptist, God also spoke to his parents, saying that you will have a child.
哦，在第一章的十三节，啊，我们就可以看得到。
You can see this in chapter 1, verse 13.
然后我们的神也告诉为人父母的说，这个孩子他将来就是我的开路先锋。
And God also told them that this child will do work for me.
哎，都是归神为圣，要做神圣功服事的一个神命定的工人。
So both of these were workers that had been consecrated and set aside by God.
到了路加福音一章的六十六节
，In Luke chapter 1 verse 66，
我们可以看到哈，当时有很多人听到的哈，这个来历背景，你要注意可以看哈，当时就讲了一句话。
We can see that there were many people that heard of this.
说这个孩子将来会怎么样呢
？And so they asked, what will be of this child?
参孙出生的时候，还没有出生的时候，哎。这句话，父母亲也是在问神啊，这个孩子将来会怎么样
？And so for Samson, before he was born, the parents also asked the Lord the same question.
那四喜约翰呢，也不例外，很多人一直心里面存着一个问号，就是这个孩子是在这一种情况之下被安排的，那这个孩子将来会怎么样呢
？And it was the same for John the Baptist before he was born. There were people who were asking in their hearts what kind of child this will be.
那当然，从圣经提供的资料，我们晓得哈啊，这个孩子哈，这个参参孙是失败的，施洗约翰是成功的。
And so from the recordings in the Bible, we know that Samson was a failure, and also that John the Baptist was a success.
因为后来参孙啊，他是死在这个啊腓力士人的庙里面，跟腓力士人一起死掉了。
Because Samson, in the end, he died in the temple of the Philistines with the Philistines.
那如果你看施洗约翰，在马太十一章的十一节。
But if we look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 11 for John the Baptist.
圣经记载说，哈，这个耶稣亲口讲的话，哈，说，哈，马太十一章十一节，哈，电脑都要配合凑一下，哈，哦，有时候不翻经文的，哈。
So Matthew chapter 11 verse 11。
哎，我们的神都讲什么？我们的神就讲说，凡妇人所生的，没有一个兴起来大过施洗约翰。
Surely I say to you, among those born of women, there is not risen one greater than John the Baptist.
好，哦，这个是，哦，我们大家看电脑投影，哦，投影荧幕的，哦，就知道这个是耶稣基督他亲口讲的。
And so you can see this was spoken by Jesus himself.
可见施洗约翰在这个耶稣基督的眼中，他是一个非常成功、非常有价值的神重用的工人。
And so we can see that John the Baptist in the eyes of Jesus was a very valuable worker of God.
那施洗约翰的成功到底是成功在哪里呢
？And so where was the success of John the Baptist?
好，我们来看路加福音第一章的。八十节。
Let's look at Luke chapter 1 verse 80。
我就强调一个重点哈。
I'll emphasize one key point。
在路加福音一章的八十节记载，在施洗约翰整个成长的过程当中。
In Luke chapter 1 verse 80, it talks about how John the Baptist grew.
我们圣经记载说哈，第一个是什么？心灵强健。
First, that he became strong in spirit.
我去查考了一下这一句话它所代表的内涵。
And so I looked up what this phrase encompassed.
就是说，他这个属灵的生命是非常稳定而且强壮。
That is to say that their spiritual life is very steadfast and strong.
我们想一想哈啊。我们的孩子也是在神的安排当中，然后他出生在我们的家庭里面。
We say that our children, they are also arranged by God to be born into our household.
那当这个孩子来到我们的家庭里面之后
，And so after this child has come into our family,
我想为人父母的哈，现在第一注重的是这个孩子他本身的这个身量，成长的状况，身体的健康情况到底好不好？
I feel that the number one priority for the parents will be the well-being and the health of that child.
所以为了让孩子能够健康、茁壮、成长、顺利的成长。
And so for the sake of allowing the child to be able to be healthy and to grow.
很多父母亲就是不惜这个花费这个巨资啊、重金啊、买最好的奶粉来给我的孩子吃啊。
Many parents they will not be cheap and they will buy the best milk powder for their child.
所以若山这个是吃最好的奶粉，体格很壮哈、那佩涵我看吃的奶粉大概没有那么好了哈。
So brother Robin he must have had the best milk powder and my brother Hugh may not have had the best.
身体好不好啊？所以你看这个小时候哈，父母亲、孩子之间在做比较，是做什么比较？哇，金华火腿啊，对不对？
So for parents, when they are comparing with others about the children, they will be comparing about their health.
哇，白白胖胖的，吼，身体很健壮啊。
And so they will take pride in a child that is very plump.
那现在假设两个孩子了哈。
And so for example, if there are two children,
这个孩子哈怎么样？五分。为什么？身体已经棒，从来不生病，身体很健康，哦，而且茁壮速度非常非常好，身量非常好。
So perhaps child number one, they are very healthy and they have grown very well.
好，那么这个孩子哈，啊，这个哈，闽南话哈，高音啊，高音啊，哈，就是说这个养他哈，养的好像是毛病很多啦，哦，那么就是在这个哈摇摇摆摆的这个不是很好的状态当中，哦，他长大了。
And the second child, perhaps they are seen to often get sick and they are not very healthy and it seems that they grow up in this way.
所以如果从一到五分我们给他打分数了哈。
And so if we were to rank them from 1 to 5.
这个五分表示身体一级棒。
So child one is 5 points out of 5.
那这个呢一分呢这个体弱多病。
And the second child is only 1 out of 5. They have many ailments.
好，那等到这个孩子在长大的过程当中，为人父母的会注重什么呢
？But as the children grow further, what will the parents place the importance on?
我想第二个注重的就是说，那到底他的智慧好不好？我们讲他的 IQ 到底好不好
？I feel that many parents will place importance on whether they have a high IQ or not.
所以很小哈就会给孩子哈刺激他脑部发育的营养品啊，比如说一种含一种营养叫 DHA， 我晓得那个代号了哈，不是 DNA 哦，叫 D， 你去查嘛哈，叫 DHA， 哦，但是促进孩子的这个脑力发展的一个营养素。
And so many parents they will try to stimulate the brains of their children and have supplements for their child.
然后这个孩子年纪还很小，没有达到读书年龄的时候，可能我们很多为人父母的台湾是这样子的哈，就把孩子送到一个名词叫做潜能开发班。
And so,
希望透过这些教导的方式，让孩子的这个什么脑袋的发育能力，他的 IQ， 他的潜能能够被激化出来。
And so I know that this is a thing, especially in Taiwan, that even before they are at the age to go to school, the parents will send them to a place to help to stimulate them and to help them to grow.
我不晓得我们这边是不是父母亲也会这样做，有没有这种这个潜能开发这样子的课程啊？哈。
And so I'm not sure if we have these kind of classes here.
那如果经过这个性向测验说哇配含 IQ 350啊超越爱迪生啊。
And so perhaps,
不得了了这个。
Perhaps some person will have an IQ of 350.
那我的 IQ 在台湾性向的这个智能的测验79啊。
But then another may have
很糟糕
IQ of only 79.
因为台湾要当这个军官，服兵役要当军官IQ 要80啊，我79，连当官的资格都没有
Because in our national service to be a general, you have to have an IQ of 80, so I did not even reach that mark.
那假设这两个孩子好，第一个孩子身体五分，现在他的智能智慧再给他五分，非常棒的一个孩子。
And so for child one, their physical body, they are 5 out of 5, and also their IQ is also 5 out of 5.
那这个身体只有一分的，我们他的 IQ 发展一分啦，因为什么？因为1+1=2，他还搞不大清楚啊，笨笨的。
With the second child, they are not very bright either, so they're physically only 1 out of 5, and their IQ is only 1 out of 5 as well.
那么再来，孩子进入到学习年龄阶段的时候，我们父母亲看重的是什么呢
？And as the child grows to the age of learning, then what do the parents place importance on?
我们父母亲看重的是他学习的能力，他的技能到底好不好
？The parents will place importance on whether or not they are a good learner.
所以为了让我们的孩子他将来的成就比我们好，所以父母亲是拿钱去堆积他的技能嘛，生活的技能。
And so in hopes of their child living a better life than themselves, they will put money into the child to be able to grow in their life.
有一次我在我们那边举办的这个少年班特别聚会那么我问孩子是这个国小4年级到6年级这个年龄层。
And so once in Taiwan, there were students from year 4 to 6.
小朋友，我们除了学校的课程之外，有在外面补习班补习的，请举手。
There was a special service, and I asked aside from your normal classes, who goes to extra tuition?
大概一百六十几个小朋友哈，九成举手，全部都在外面补习呀。
And so 90% of 160 students, they all raised their hands that they would go to extra tuition.
我说好，补一科的手放下来。
And so I said, okay, put your hand down if you go to tuition for one subject.
没有人放下来。
No one dropped their hand.
补两科的手放下来。
If you go to two classes, then put your hand down.
有几个手放下来。大多数的手都还举着。
A few hands went down, but most still stayed up.
补三科的手放下来，差不多还有一半的人手没有放下来。
And so if you go to three classes, then keep your hand up. Half of them still had their hands up.
补四科的手放下来
，Put your hand down if you go to four classes.
几乎都放下来，可是还有两个没有放下来。
And so essentially all of them put their hands down except for two of them.
我说你们到底补几科啊
？And so I asked them how many classes do you go to tuition for?
他说传道五科，我们补五科。
And they replied, "Our preacher, I go to five."
到底你们是在补什么啊
？And so what are you going to tuition for?
第一个英文
，firstly,
因为台湾嘛需要学习英文哈，它这个世界的广阔度会比较好，语言沟通能力很重要。英文
go to tuition for English so that they are able to be more worldwide.
第二个数学，因为数学要理解不容易。
And secondly is mathematics because it is hard to understand.
第三个音乐培养。他有这个音乐的这样子的一种什么、哦、我们不要讲说服侍神啊，培养他有音乐的艺术气息了。
And thirdly was music to allow them to be able to have creativity in this area、
哦。那第四个说补作文、哦、因为台湾考试作文是列入在计算成绩里面的。
And fourthly to be able to write essays because this is part of the assessments、哦。
我听了头都大了哈，我说那还有一个呢。
And so I asked what was the last one。
他说我妈妈让我选呐、啊，看我要学芭蕾舞。还是去学陶艺绘画、哦、这个是自我兴趣的栽培。
And so they, I replied, my mother allowed me to have a choice for my fifth one, whether I wanted to do ballet or to do arts.
那假设你的孩子也是美学必会哈，举一反十，对不对？哈，非常的聪明，学什么就会什么。
And so, for example, if your child was very smart and intelligent, they learned whatever they.
我们在这个技能的学习上给他五分。
So perhaps in their learning, we'll give them 5 out of 5.
那底下这个身体不好的孩子啊，学习能力不好的啊。还是给他一分啊、
哦、and then,
有学习能力嘛，你总不能给他零分嘛、哦、
And so the second child, they are able to learn, so you get them 1 point, but they're not very bright either.
那我们很多父母就觉得说，哇，身体好，智慧高，然后再来呢，技能学习的速度很快，很满意啊、哦、
And so the parents will look and say, they are healthy, they are very smart, and also they are able to pick up things very quickly.
但是缺少一样。
But they are lacking one thing.
就是施洗约翰成长过程当中圣经记录的心灵。
That is what is recorded in the Bible in regards to John the Baptist to be strong in spirit.
我要这样讲啊哈。
So I need to say
这个在这个世界让人眼花缭乱的这一些教育活动。
So with all of these educational events,
当然可以开启我们孩子他在这个学习上面的一个兴趣。
Of course, they can stir up an interest in the children and their learning.
他能够拥有非常高级先进的知识，进入这个世界跟人家竞争。
And they are able to enter into this world very competitively because of their intelligence.
但是人因为犯了罪之后的这个罪性所带来的人性的腐败的一面产生犯罪跟堕落不会消失。
But thus, because of the sin of mankind that has entered into this world, this issue will not go away.
所以心灵很重要。哦，这个孩子就是不听话，叛逆性很强。哦、然后常常讲谎话，常常会偷人家的东西。
And so perhaps a child, they will tell lies and they will steal things. They will do lots of bad things.
哦、啊、让父母亲很头痛。虽然他身体很壮。
And so perhaps they may be physically strong and healthy, but they will.
虽然他的 IQ 很高。
They may be smart, but they will cause a difference to their parents.
虽然他学习能力很强。
Even if they are very good at learning.
但是就是心灵不好、哦、心灵内在的生命本质不好，罪性嘛。
In their heart and their spirit, they are evil.
负一分。
It will be negative one.
我给他负一分了哈。
So I give them negative 1 point.
那这个孩子哈，还给他一分了哈。虽然没有很乖啊强，有时候还是会稍微改一下哈。不会什么一言九鼎啊，举一反三啊，让人家很头痛哈，不会这样。
And so the second child, I'll give them 1 point because they do not talk back as much when they still do something good.
好，那请问这个孩子 total 等于多少？你给他几分？
So how many? What is the grand total for the first child?
有四个项次，对不对？
Therefore,
五分，五分，五分，负一分。
So five, 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 and negative one.
好，那第二个孩子是一分，一分，一分，一分。
And the other child is 1 point for each category.
好，那请问这个孩子给他几分？
So what is the grand total for the first child?
有人说十四分啊。五加五加五减一嘛，还有十四分吗？还可以吗？错的，这种算法是错的。
So they'll say five plus five plus five minus one is 14, but this is incorrect.
你要打叉，你用乘的，五乘五乘五乘负一。
So you need to multiply five times five times five times negative one.
所以第一个孩子是负一百二十五分哦。
So the first child is negative 125.
那第二个孩子呢？还是一分。
And the second child is still 1 point.
那哪一个孩子强
？And so which is the better?
第二个孩子强，一分的孩子强。
The second child has a point of one.
所以美国曾经发生过这样子的一件事啊。
And so in America, once this happened.
美国的银行他们有一次是这个希望有这个程式设计师帮他们设计这个利息的计算的程式哈。
There was a bank that they wanted city planners to be able to design a
利息这个银行户头里面的利息的计算的这个什么程式
algorithm to calculate the lease from money
因为 每年都要换都要 好几种不同利息的算法定期的定期还分成你存几年的还有复利的计算方式活期的太多的那干脆有没有一套很便利的计算方式然后我数字输送进去给他该给他多少利息，马上就可以知道了。
And because there are many different ways to methods of calculating different leases for different investments, so they hope to have one algorithm that they can use for all of them.
好，那到最后有一个年轻人他拿去参加比赛，他的程式被国家采用了。
And in the end, there was a student that took their algorithm to the competition, and they won, and it became news from the by the city.
我们纽西兰的利息的计算是到角吗？还是到分？比如说利息是你这个活期的利息，跟你银行存款算到最后，你这个这一年的这个利息可以拿到这个32.5角，有没有算到分？
And so、
那如果两分呢？那银行给你多少？32.5两分，那银行拨进去多少？两分也拨进去吗？那美国他们是算到角分不算进去好像我们在台湾就是算到角你得到的是108.23元那个三分就自动 cancel 掉了，没有了。
And you said you will get your interest up to the cent, but in other places they will only get to 10 cents.
那请问三分跑到哪里去
？And so where did that remainder go？
比如说以我们这边你该得的利息是32.52，那请问这个八跑到哪里去
？So where did the remainder of the interest go？
我们不会去计较嘛，对不对
？We would not care so much.
太小的东西了，有跟没有一样啊。
It is as if it is nothing.
这个程式设计师太高明了，他用这个程式转换的方式，把这个最后的尾数全部集中到一个户头里面了。
And so the person who came up with this algorithm was very smart. They will take the very last digit of all of the interest and put it into an account.
所以他每一年可以从这样子的一个管道当中得到几千万美金的天上掉下来的钱了。
那
这个钱是谁的？所有美国百姓给他的。
This the person who came up with this algorithm was able to make money off this algorithm because they would take the last digit of the interest for everyone.
所以后来这个人被判刑了。
And so in the end, this person was sentenced.
他身体好。
Their body was good.
他 IQ 高。
And they had a
他技能棒。
They were good at learning.
心灵不好。内在的生命本质不好，罪性嘛，人的腐败性。
But they had a sinful nature in their heart; they were evil.
结果他对整个社会造成的危害性是相当大的。
And so the threat that they caused to society was also very big.
所以为什么我们今天要强调的就是说宗教教育是一个非常重要的，我们在座为人父母的你不要跟以利一样。
And so why do we emphasize the importance of religious education and we encourage the parents not to be like Eli?
让我们的孩子不懂得敬畏神。
To allow our children to not know to fear the Lord.
那这本圣经我们的神告诉我们说敬畏神啊，敬畏神是智慧的开端哦。
So the Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord it is the beginning of wisdom.
总共讲了三次。
It is mentioned three times.
在诗篇111篇第十节。
In Psalm 110.
111篇第十节。
11 verse 10.
讲到说敬畏神是智慧的开端。
It talks about fear of the Lord, it is the beginning of wisdom.
箴言第一章第七节。
Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7.
也提到说敬畏神是智慧的开端。
It also tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
那么在箴言第九章的第十节。
Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10.
我们的神再讲一次。
Our God emphasizes it again.
敬畏神就是智慧的开端。
Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
那如果从小我们没有办法在宗教信仰上，你就带他来接受洗礼，可是在整个 宗教这个训练，宗教这个什么教导的这件事上，我们都是放给教会，又来又来带到教会去就好了。那我们为人父母的，没有关心我们孩子他的心灵是不是够茁壮够稳固。
And from their youth, we only send our children to church and we do not emphasize on religious education at home, then we have not placed enough importance on their spirit.
那导致到我们的孩子长大之后不认识神。
And it will cause our
跟以利的两个孩子一样。
To be like the sons of Eli, they will grow up not knowing the Lord.
那我们的家就进入到一个这个悲惨的境界了，孩子不认识神嘛，那怎么从神那里得到恩典福气，得到生命的救恩呢？
Our household will fall into calamity. They do not know the Lord. So how can we receive blessings and grace from God?
所以宗教教育宗教教育是我们为人父母的必须要负起的一个绝对的责任哦。
And so religious education, it is a responsibility that the parents must bear.
我们来看以赛亚耶利米书第五章。
Let us refer to Jeremiah chapter 5.
耶利米书第五章从第七节到第九节的这段经文。
Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 7 to 9.
这是神透过先知在责备以色列百姓当中为人父母的。
This is how God rebuked the parents of the Israelites through the prophet
Jeremiah. 一开始我们的神说，我怎么赦免你？
God says, how can I forgive you?
耶利米书五章七节到九节。
How shall I pardon you? Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 7.
这是对父母亲所说的话。
So these are spoken to the parents.
神问这些为人父母的说，我怎么赦免你？
God says, how shall I pardon you for this?
因为他们所教养出来的孩子不认识神。
Because the children that they have brought up, they do not know God.
他们所教养出来的孩子跟以利一样，是在神的真理里面用行为去触犯神的愤怒。
The children that they have brought up, they were like the sons of Eli. They are sinned against God through their actions.
所以到了第九节，我们的神说，我岂不因这些事讨罪呢？
So verse 9, God says, shall I not punish them for these things?
我们从圣经里面的一个非常实际的例子，我们可以去做思考判断。
So we can consider this from a very practical example in the Bible.
以利的家族，我们的神说，你明知道，告诉以利说，你明知道你的儿子在做坏事，你都没有禁止他们，没有教导他们。
For the household of Eli, God said to Eli that you knew what they were doing, but you did not correct them.
所以以利这个家族就被咒诅了，包括以利也被咒诅。
And so Eli and his whole household, he was cursed.
那如果你看旧约圣经另外一个神重用的先知的也是祭司，就是撒母耳。
And another prophet and priest in the Old Testament, it is Samuel.
撒母耳的两个儿子也是不良品啊，讲起来是这样啊。
So the two sons of Samuel, they were also not great.
我们请电脑说一下，撒母耳记上八章一节到三节。
First Samuel chapter 8.
撒母耳记上第八章
chapter 8.
一节到三节的经文
verse 1 to 3.
你可以看到圣经记载说，撒母耳这两个儿子怎么样？不行他的道了，贪图财利，收受贿赂，屈枉正直啊。第三节，等一下第三节
verse 3.
啊，这个是撒母耳的儿子哈。
So these are the
坏蛋一个啦，坏蛋两个啦，跟以利先知、跟以利祭司的两个儿子一样啊。
Children of Samuel, they were very likened to the children of Eli.
那你会发现哈，撒母耳哈善终，没有被神咒诅。
But we can see that Samuel he was not cursed by God.
都是在旧约时代啊。同一个时代，因为以利就是撒母耳的老师嘛。
This was in the same period because Eli was the teacher of Samuel.
那为什么他们这两个人的人生结局会不一样
？And so why is it that the two of them had different ends？
就是尽责任或者不尽责任的关键哈、哦，界限是在这里的。
It is a matter of if you have fulfilled your responsibility or not.
所以你看撒母耳记上的十二章哈、
哦、，And First Samuel chapter 12，
一节到五节
，Verse 1 to 5。
撒母耳曾经当着他两个儿子的面，当着众以色列人的面。
Samuel once to the faces of his son and also before the congregation.
然后他讲，你们可以主证我哪里做错。
Said that where have I done wrong?
如果你们没有办法主证我哪里做得不好，你们要为我做见证哦。
If you are unable to point out my error, then you must be a witness for me.
在十二章第二节特别记载说，我的儿子都在你们这里哦，他儿子也在现场哦。
And so verse 2 mentions that he says, and look, my sons are with me.
连他两个儿子都不敢讲，爸爸，你没有好好教导我们。
And so even his sons were, they're not there to say that you do not teach us correctly.
换句话说，撒母耳他尽到了为人父亲在宗教信仰上教导的责任。
That is to say that Samuel he fulfilled his responsibility.
那以后孩子长大，他不认识神，不行神的道，这个是孩子的问题了，跟这个当父亲的哈。没有什么关系的，因为责任尽了嘛。
He has fulfilled his responsibility, so if the children go their own way as they grow up, then that is on them.
所以我们不要让我们的后代子孙哈被神咒诅哈。
Let us not allow our descendants to be cursed.
我们从以利这一个祭司的身上，我们就能够看得出来哈，这个是关系到我们后代子孙永远的福分。
We can see from Eli the priest that this has an effect on our blessings in the times to come.
我再强调哈，人犯罪之后的罪性跟人性当中的腐败性哈，没有因为这个世界上高深的学问，它就被消除掉。
And so I must emphasize that the original sin of mankind and the corruption of men will not go away because someone has a high status or is rich.
那么因为这样一个腐败的罪性会让我们进入罪里面，会让我们怎么样产生灵魂的堕落，就是不遵守神的道。
And these will cause us to stumble in our faith and in our spiritual life.
所以心灵强健是非常重要的，我们要用心教导孩子的一个非常重要关键，就是让他们属灵的生命在神的面前能够稳固。
And so it is a very critical point that we must ensure that the spiritual life of our children are very strong and steadfast in the Lord.
最后的结论。
And so in conclusion,
是诗篇三十七篇。
Psalm 37.
在诗篇三十七篇里面，那么这些经文看的都会让我们感觉到非常的感动。
In Psalm 37, these will cause us to be removed.
我们可以从二十三节看到二十六节。
We can read from verse 23 to 26.
那现在我要特别看的是二十五节。
And I'd like to emphasize verse 25.
我们的神说，透过这一个作诗的人这么说，大卫他这么说。
God speaks through the psalmist David saying,
他说，我从前年幼，现在年老，没有见过一人背弃，也没有见过他的后裔怎么样讨患，就是生活过得不好。大卫说，我从来没有见过。
David says, I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his descendants begging for bread.
当然孩子在这个世界上生存所需要的各方面的能力，我们是可以栽培他的。
Of course, we are able to assist our children with their needs in this world.
但是更重要的是，你要让你的孩子在神面前成为一个义人呢。
But what is even more important is to allow our children to become righteous before the Lord.
那他才是一个心灵强健、蒙受神祝福的孩子。
And only then will they be a child that is strong in spirit and are able to receive blessings from the Lord.
一起来唱赞美诗325首。
Let us sing hymn 325.